When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to the OHIO podcast. I am Chris Wilds, the Wild Man. Noticeable by his absence today is Buckeye Boggs, who's taking a well-deserved evening off. But I am joined tonight by Silky Smooth in the Know, JR, and one half of the Buckeye Boys, Mr. Mellow's in the house tonight with us. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, man, I am just great. JR, how are things over there in lovely Indiana right now?
Woo! I'm doing great.
All right. So before we get rolling, let's take care of the formalities and pay the bills. We are the official Ohio State podcast of Scarlet and Game, powered by FanSided, as well as the official Ohio State podcast of the College Huddle. Please, if you haven't already done so, hit the like button. Go on and subscribe, and you'll get notified of all our content as it rolls out. And then, as well, please, if you haven't done so already, please consider becoming a member of the podcast. It's only $3.99 a month, and the perks are phenomenal, guys. You get a great T-shirt, which I don't have. Eric's got all those right now, but a great T-shirt after you've been a member for a month. You also get access to special content that we do on a regular basis. You're automatically enrolled to win our prizes and giveaways. You get free shipping from the store. And also, for those of you who are already members, you may have seen it. Guys, this last week we rolled out our Ohio State Football Preview magazine. Have either of you guys got a chance to check that out yet? JR, are you with us? I saw you.
Yeah, I am. Okay. No, I didn't get it yet, so I'll have to check that out. I'll have to get Eric to send it to me.
Hey, JR, Donald noticed that your shelves aren't quite open anymore back there, man.
Yeah, I put
a few things up there.
I put my lanyard from Big Ten Media Days up there, and I have a cup with Ohio State on it that I don't drink out of very often. So I was like, well, if I don't drink out of it, might as well put it up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Donald says he has checked out the magazine and he thought it was awesome. And guys, I saw it. I thought it was incredible. I did a few articles for it and helped out Eric a little bit, but man, he put together a beautiful piece of work there. So looks like Devin's in the house tonight. Other half of the Buckeye Boys, Mello, is giving you a shout out, man.
What's up, Dev? How you doing, brother? How's my boy Cujo doing?
Man, did you see Cujo made an appearance the other night on Snoop? Yeah.
He made a celebrity appearance.
That's
first
right.
First one of many.
Okay, so guys, let's go ahead and dive right in. We're just going to touch on a few things that I'm hearing out of camp right now. I want to get some responses from you guys on this. So it appears that Will Howard's going to be our starting quarterback from everything I'm hearing. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. But Ryan Day came out and really had some great things to say here recently about Julian Sand. And I'm going to read a quote here real quick. He's been unbelievable. I mean, he has a good plan for when he gets out there. Doesn't want to get his hand held. I've been impressed with his approach. And like I said before, he's got a really, really bright future. I mean, how fast he gets on the field will just kind of be up to him. Does that sound to you guys like he is going to be the number two guy as we break camp? And if so, what do you think that means for the Ohio State quarterback room? JR, let's get your response first.
Oh, I can't imagine he's going to be the number two guy just because of experience. But I'm not putting it past him. I mean, he does process at an elite level. From everything I've heard is once that arm catches up, which he still has a fantastic arm, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it has a bad arm by any means, but strength wise once that arm catches up to his processing ability and how quickly he is able to read and react, I mean, that it's going to be he's going to be a legendary quarterback at Ohio State. He's going to have some kind of season, some kind of record or something like that. He's going to do something where he's remembered at Ohio State if he continues on this trajectory that he's currently on, because he has so much skill. And right now he's just a pup. He's just a freshman. And, unfortunately for him, he doesn't quite have the opportunity that Jeremiah Smith has right now with a little bit of a less experienced room and some younger guys and things like that. But he's going to be fantastic someday, and it is interesting to think about if he will jump Devin Brown for the starting role next year and the second string role this year.
All right, Mello, you have any thoughts on it?
I think by the end of the season, Julian's going to be QB2. I think the writing's on the wall for Lincoln Keenholz and DB33. I think they're going to end up having to transfer if they want to fulfill their dreams and to make it to the NFL. I think next year is going to be Tavian St. Clair, Julian Sand, Aaron Nolan, and he'll probably portal a vet in to help out with the room just in case they need it. So I could see him going to QB2. Do you remember Ryan Day's press conference when he said we have to have Sand ready by October 12th?
Yes.
So he speaks cryptically, and when it comes, for the most part, but when it comes to Julian Sand and Jeremiah Smith, a.k.a. Optimus Prime, he doesn't really hide it too much. He kind of puts it out there what he thinks of them.
You know what Ryan Day is doing this year with his press conference? I'm sorry, Chris. I don't mean to cut you off. But Ryan Day, I know that we've given him too many comparisons to Nick Saban and stuff like that here lately with the recruiting and stuff. But guys, he is speaking to his team through these press conferences now. He wasn't doing that before. He was giving, answers that really didn't mean all that much, kind of evaded the questions. He still does that to a certain extent now. But Ryan Day is speaking directly to his team. When he's talking about Jelani Thurman and he says he needs to be more consistent and he's telling, I could see him saying that to Jelani's face. Now he's saying it to the press. And I feel like he, at this point, he's just like, I got so many guys that are talented. They just need to step up and do what they're supposed to do, because Jelani Thurman, with the athleticism that he has, I don't mean to put the conversation on somebody else, but at the end of the day, he should be vying for a starting role, if not being the starter this year in a tight end room that, I mean, I love G. Scott Jr. I think that he's a fantastic guy, but if we're looking at athleticism and built for the tight end position, Jelani's that guy, and I feel like Ryan Day's seeing that, and I feel like Ryan Day's speaking to his players a little bit more through these press conferences.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think both you guys are on this. I really do believe by the end of the year that Julian Sand is QB2. I don't know if he's there when we break camp, just because Devin does have some experience, the experience on him, but man, everything I'm hearing coming out of there, he is showing a lot. Blue Wolverine has just become an official member of the Ohio or the OHIO podcast. So that's,
are we sure he's not an Ohio State fan? He is everywhere, man. Are we? He either just really likes Ohio State fans or he has a secret affinity for us. I don't know. I can't tell.
Well, you know, I think what it is, JR, is Michigan fans are so unbearable. He just wants to hang out with some cool cats. That's all. That's all I'm thinking, man.
And we're thinking he's getting ready for those sanctions coming out, so that way he can flip sides. We welcome you, Blue Wolverine.
If we have time, we're going to jump into one on that too, Mella.
He's going to be Scarlet Buckeye here soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so another thing coming out of camp is the reports that, guys, a lot of the veterans, you know, we've talked about the fact that Ryan Day is running this almost a little more like an NFL camp at this point. Well, now we're hearing that some of the veterans, the guys who came back, Igbuka, Burke, Travion, Donovan Jackson, JTG, Jack Sawyer, these guys are kind of playing some limited reps in practice right now and carrying a little bit of a lighter load. So what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that the added rest is going to help at the start of the season, as well as getting these younger guys some additional playing time and some reps in practice? Or do you guys think that this is a natty or bust season? These guys should be out there off and running, getting it going right out of the gate. Mello, your thoughts?
I think seeing how it is a natty or bust season, and we just all need to embrace that as a fan base, he's doing it the right way. You're going to rest your vets. You're going to build depth because you're going to need it and save them for the regular season game. Look at Texas and Texas A&M. They just lost the number one and number two running backs in the class from 2023 in a scrimmage. How do you think they're feeling? Especially CJ, he's supposed to be like the man in Texas, so they're going to have a lot of shoes to fill. We need the depth. We need them to learn. And the vets, they're in their fourth and fifth years. They already know what they're doing. Let their bodies rest and let's bring it August 31st.
Jared, do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's a really smart move by Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day, he doesn't get enough credit for continuing to learn and grow each year. And I think that he has noticed the issues about the depth in the past, and he's realizing how thankful he is this year for the players coming back, because the guys who were behind them, quite frankly, were not ready. I mean, if you had to go into the season with Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson, you know, Calvin Simpson Hunt, you know, the list goes on and on. These guys have hardly seen the field. And I think giving them more reps in practice is the beginning of being able to trust them being out on the field more. I don't think it's a coincidence that you're hearing them talk about, you know, concerns of depth at multiple positions that we feel confident in, but maybe they don't feel as confident in because they just haven't seen it on the field yet. So I think Ryan Day is continuing to learn. I think Ryan Day is continuing to grow. And I think this is just one more thing that he's doing this season to get better as a coach and to learn and grow and hopefully be the best coach he can possibly be here soon in his career.
Yeah, I agree. This is an evolution for Ryan Day. And I think it's an evolution in the college game right now as we go more to that NFL-lite type style. And you mentioned it, JR, the idea that, you know, we need to develop that depth. We saw what happened last year in the bowl game when our quarterbacks really didn't have any playing time. Our offensive line was messed around with, and some of those guys didn't have a lot of playing time. It got ugly. And, you know, we do have some positions that I think I do think that there are a need for people to be in there at some positions. Offensive line, maybe just as a unit until they're gelled, even though all these guys or a lot of these guys are coming back until they're gelled as a unit, I'd like to see them get significant reps together because let's face it, as the offensive line goes, that's going to determine how our season goes.
Absolutely.
But the other guys, the skill guys, the rushers, you know, I don't mind them taking some time off. But then you got guys like, even though he's a veteran, a G. Scott Jr., I think he needs to be in there. If he's going to be the starting tight end, he needs to be getting those reps. But if they're pushing for Jelani to make that move, then obviously he does need him as well. Looks like we have Chris, who just became an official member as well tonight. So that's two more official members to the podcast tonight. All right. So last question. Oh, go ahead, Jay. Oh, go ahead, Noah.
Also, you have to think he's building depth for next season as well. All these guys are going to be graduating and going to get drafted in the NFL draft after this season. So
yes,
you got to be ready to rock and roll next season. We're going to have a lot of turnover.
Yeah. I mean, the guys we talked about, they could have easily gone. And I think some of them could have been first round picks this season. So yeah, you're right. We're going to have a lot of guys that we're replacing. A lot of experience we're losing next year. So yeah, they definitely need to get that playing time in. So one more thing I definitely want to touch on tonight, and I'm going to try to refrain and keep it family friendly as I mentioned this. The cheaters up north. The cheaters.
I thought you were
going
to say Justin Fry for a second. So well, I was like, oh no,
you
don't get me started, Chris.
You know what? There is something to discuss there as well. But we're going to address the cheaters up north here first, and that is their latest action of giving the NCAA the proverbial finger. Only days, even hours, after receiving a 4-year show cause and a 1-year suspension, Jim Harbaugh is named by the university as the honorary captain for the home opener. The arrogance and the audacity of the university to do this just blows my mind. I mean, and the sanctions haven't even came out for this whole Connor Stallions debacle. This is all about what he did in recruiting violations. This guy shouldn't be anywhere near a college campus. The leadership at the University of Michigan, the athletic department, the university leadership, all of them should be kicked out onto their backsides. This is a program that, I mean, the way they cheated the game should honestly, in my opinion, be facing the proverbial death penalty. They really should. But I don't think they will. That being said, what do you think, Mello, about Michigan naming Jim Harbaugh honorary, a man without honor, naming him honorary captain in the first game?
I think they just said, we're just going to go down with the ship. We're going to ride this Titanic out because it's unsinkable. And I think the NCAA is going to be even more aggravated, and they might hit them with harder sanctions. I think if I'm Michigan, I don't want to go to court with whatever punishment I get, because then there's this thing called discovery. And once discovery happens, it becomes public, and everybody sees all your dirty laundry, and they see how bad it really was. So if I'm them, I would just try to fly under the radar. You're already in enough trouble. It just makes zero sense, in my opinion.
Okay, but yeah. this is the team up north, though. We know this is a bunch of the most selfish, arrogant, disrespectful people in all of college football, right? I mean, they don't have a brain cell to be able to recognize this. Not all of them. There are some Michigan fans I like. But predominantly, a lot of them do not have a brain cell to even realize what they're doing. They just say, oh, yeah, get the NCAA back and take care of them. I mean, yes, Chris, I agree with all the lying and everything else. What Michigan has done does deserve the death penalty, in my opinion, based off the cheating and the lying and the complete, like I said, them disregarding the NCAA and every such way. Now, can the NCAA give out the death penalty? I don't think they have that much power anymore, personally. No. I think, you know, something would stop them, whether it's the TV contract or something else. Like, something would eventually stop them. And I feel like that's why they are limited in what they can do. I just was on an episode talking about all the level one violations that there are. And really the only one that can be given to Michigan is vacated wins. Because everything else, either the conference is going to stop, the TV contract is going to stop. I mean, all of these other things, they're going to band together with Michigan and say, whoa, 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 whoa. This is one of the biggest TV makers. You know, like this is one of the biggest TV money makers for us. You're not going to just take these guys and throw them out. So pretty much the only thing that the NCAA can do to Michigan is vacate their wins, vacate their national championship. But even if they do that, I mean, I've said this on the Big Ten Huddle multiple times now, like, even if they do that, like, yeah, you take the trophies and yeah, they have to take down their signs and, you know, yeah, that would be good. But like the NCAA still fumbled here because they let them play for it. They let the fans go to the game for it. So, I mean, no matter what, like, yeah, I think they're arrogant and disrespectful, but in a way, like, they can kind of do whatever they want to the NCAA because they know they're playing with house money, and the NCAA, they don't have enough power to actually really be able to do anything about it anymore unless they give Sharon Moore a show cause and then they have to find a new head coach. That would probably be the worst thing, but I don't think they have enough dirt on Sharon Moore himself to do that, and I don't think you can do that to a coach for level one violation to your school. They might fire Ward Manuel, but, you know, he sucks at his job, so...
Well, yeah,
he
should be fired. And this is the sad thing. What they did was so disgraceful. It shouldn't be vacated wins. They should be forfeited wins. They really should be. That would be the smack in the face that they should do. They won't do it. You're right. Because the NCAA, as Eric has said for the longest time, really doesn't have any teeth left. They really don't. Gone are the days when they do what they did to USC, to Miami, to Ohio State during the Tattoo Gate thing, and going back to, you know, SMU when they gave them the death penalty. Gone are those days. They don't have that power anymore. But, man, they deserve it. And I'll tell you that we've talked about it before, and I even hate mentioning it again, but the arrogance of that fan base is just – so beyond belief.
Well, if they vacate wins and forfeit the postseason, have postseason ban, I mean, for multiple season, that'd be a slow death. I almost prefer that over the death penalty.
Yeah.
They could watch us rise to the top while they just sink back into the shallows where they came from.
Yeah, it's...
Did you guys see that? That Michigan alumni on Twitter, his tweet earlier today?
No,
in the article that was written on the Detroit Free Press?
No, I did not.
So I'd pull it up if I could. I don't think I can share my screen here. But essentially, there was a Michigan alumni who came out and shared one of the articles that was like, Jim Harbaugh, disgrace to Michigan and all this stuff. And he was just like, this is exactly how I feel. Like, Jim Harbaugh has disgraced our program. Like, we've been known as Michigan men, people who do it the right way, and all this stuff. And he just basically spit in all that. And our fan base has become so, you know, national championship hungry that they've forgotten who we are and what we stand for and all this stuff. Now, you know, we've always known the whole like Michigan man thing is all, you know, a ploy when it comes to some of the fans and stuff like that. But I mean, right, there really are people who graduated from that university thinking like, you know, this is a real thing that we take pride in. And for those people, at the very least, I kind of feel bad for them because their program has become completely known as a selfish, you know, disrespectful child who is arrogant and slaps his mama in the face. I mean, like, that's essentially what they have become and become known for. And if you're an alumni who actually has respect for your university and respect for your athletic department, I mean, you're feeling terrible right now because the athletic department, the university has no respect for themselves, even as high as Santa Ono. Like, yes, that dude should be losing his job as well.
And the bad part is, you know, JR, it's not just the football team. It is the entire athletic department. It's how it's not in the lack of institutional control. I have no idea. But
the comment here from Donald and Karen. I'm sorry, I didn't see it earlier. Yes, I was referring to Michigan is facing one level one violation. I'm not aware of any more than the one that was mentioned in the draft of the NOA. So right. I know that there are coaches, former coaches, that are facing, I think, Partridge, Robinson, Harbaugh, Stallions, and then Sherrone Moore is facing a level two. But I think the school of Michigan is only facing one. I don't know if he added all those up. He may have, but
yeah. So real quick before we go to break, one last question, and it's going to be something you touched on, JR. But it's only 2 weeks now, as Devin mentioned in the chat, until we can officially say football is back. So before then, there's a big announcement. Is it tomorrow, I believe? There's a big announcement concerning David Sanders Jr., who is now crystal balled to Tennessee. JR, what do you think's happening with David Sanders Jr.? I hear we're still in a good place, but...
Oh, you're going to make me talk about it.
The crystal ball goes to Tennessee, and I looked up the gentleman who crystal balled it, and he's about 82% accurate on his predictions, both currently and historically.
Is it the one that changes on the day that they announce all the time?
Say, was it Loy or was it...
It was Loy.
Yeah, well, Loy... I don't trust Loy. I really don't trust Wiltfong all that much either. I'm still optimistic. I don't think it's over yet. I do think that things are leaning Tennessee right now. And honestly, like, I know there are people out there vying for, you know, oh, it doesn't matter if they had a visit and stuff like that. But, like, I really do think that David Sanders had a really, really good time on that Tennessee visit. And he really connected well with other recruits and other players. I mean, this is just from what I'm hearing. I don't try to mention this stuff unless I have it like completely, you know, put together. So don't take this as 100% word. But what I've been told is it seems like he is jiving and kind of vibing better with the players at Tennessee than he is the ones at Ohio State. And that Ohio State hasn't given him as many opportunities to get to know the players at Ohio State. He's done a great job with the recruits. Tavian St. Clair has been on him. I mean, the other recruits, but he's not gotten to know the players at Ohio State as well as he has at Tennessee. Again, I don't have, you know, hard and fast, you know, like 100% reliability on that, but that was what I was told. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, when you look at Ohio State and how they've treated this recruitment, they brought him in an unofficial. He didn't meet any of the team. When he came in for his official, it was much more about academics and showing him, you know, developed here and all that stuff, which is great. But you got to try to get him on campus more than twice and try to get him around the team and around the other players so that way he feels better about that. And that's something that Tennessee has done really well. They've had him on campus like 5 or 6 times or something like that. So, I mean, like at a certain point, you can be the best development, you know, place in the nation, and, you know, location might not matter that much, but if you feel like you work better with, you know, the people at one university more than the other, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Tennessee was his last visit as well, right?
Yeah, and Juck just put it in there 7 times.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think there's something to be said about the school that gets the last visit. I really do. Mello, are you hearing anything different from it?
I still think he's going to be a Buckeye.
You do?
I think, yeah, logically it makes this most sense to me. I thought he's been to the school 3 times. Mm-hmm. And his actual announcement date is August 17th, not tomorrow. But
yeah, it's tomorrow.
The only school that checks all the boxes are Ohio State.
Okay.
So I did hear something about possibly a house being purchased in Upper Arlington for the family if he chooses Ohio State. And I heard that the NIL isn't going to be a problem. Nobody's going to outbid us. So, I mean, all the boxes checked academically, Paris Johnson being his mentor, his family being really tight with Monica Denise, Paris's mom. Everything just aligns. It makes 100% logical sense to go to Ohio State. So until I see difference, that's what I think he's going to be a Buckeye.
Well, Chuck loves your optimism, Mello. I'll tell you what, that's awesome. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about Buckeye position groups.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
All right, and we are back. So, guys, we have ranked all the different players, the best 10 in the Big Ten at every position. Now we're going to focus in-house a little bit, and we're going to rank our own position groups. So what we want to do is we want to start out with that team, that group that you think might be the weakest. We're going to work our way forward from there. We are not going to include special teams for the purpose of this, and I'm not 100% sure how you guys did it. I'll be honest. I just did defensive backs as one group. So, and hey, everybody in the chat, I'm doing my best to keep up with the messages, but I'm going to tell you guys, I'm no Eric, so just bear with me, man. Not all of us can be Boggsy. So
did you guys do O-line and tight end as one group, or did you do them separately?
I did them separately.
Separately, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, who would like to start tonight?
I'll go first.
Okay, JR. Hit us with number, I guess it would be eight.
Eight. Tight ends. I don't think that's any surprise. I'm very hopeful for G. Scott Jr. this year that he'll start and do a good job, and you can kind of rotate in some other guys. Sounds like Patrick Gerd can find some time this year as well, and sounds like he's really been working hard for that. But to me, you have an athletic freak in Jelani Thurman, who it's his second year in the program, former five-star, and I think he needs to be out there. And it really stinks that for whatever reason, whether he's just not picking up the playbook or whether he's just not consistent enough, whatever it might be, I think at the end of the day, you have an athletic freak in that room and you'd love to actually get him on the field.
No?
At eight, I went with the same one that JR took, tight end. It's pretty clear. And with Jelani, they're saying like maybe it's a little immaturity. Did you guys pick that up? So I'm hearing that about Jelani, but I'm also hearing that a little bit about Air as well as dinging him, because Air could sling it. Trust me, I've seen him down here. He could sling it. Maybe it's just where they grew up. They were catered to it a little bit more, and they're getting their big boy rules on. But I think they both will be fine. But hopefully Jelani will step it up, because he will be a big difference maker. Just think Darnell Washington with UGA.
Yeah.
Nightmare guard.
And I'm with you guys. I've also got the tight ends in at number eight. For me, it's about the inexperience Both, I think, a little bit at the coaching and actually how much playing time these guys have in general. Now, obviously, G got some playing time last year, but he's the only one that really has a ton of playing time. You got Cass Merrick, who I think is a pretty good blocker. I don't know how well G's blocking has come along over the course of the offseason. I hope it's well, because I do, like GOJ here, think that G is the top guy coming out of camp, but hopefully Jelani can kind of grow into that a little bit. All right, next up, who do you have at seven?
I actually have the QBs. So just based off, you know, no real star, every other position feels like there is a player who could become, you know, a star player, Big Ten first team, you know, possibly All-American or something like that. And I'm really optimistic about Will Howard. I think that he could lead us to a national championship, but I don't see him being a Heisman finalist. I don't see him being, I mean, he could definitely be Big Ten first team, but every other position, I see something out of them for that. Unfortunately, I don't see that as likely. Like I said, it could happen, but I don't see it as likely as I do with other guys. So Will Howard in the QB room for me at seven.
No?
For me, it's going O-line. I can't get the picture of how we started last season against Indiana and how we finished in the Cotton Bowl. It's just something about that. We're only going to go as far as the O-line. So I think they're going to be much improved, but we have to see. I need them to prove it on the field, and that's my challenge to them. Go out there and roll some heads.
Yeah, Melo, I was with you on this one. Yeah, that offensive line scares me. Now, if I remember right, in our position rankings for the top 10 in the Big Ten, JR had, I think, just about the entire starting offensive line in there. He's got a lot of confidence, and I hope he's right. But, Melo, I'm with you. It's hard for me to get that vision of last year's offensive line out of my head. I do think that Seth will make a big difference there, kicking Carson out to right guard, I think, to start the season. Although I hear Tegra's pushing him pretty hard. So, we'll see what happens there, but yeah, I need to see them gel and need them to see them get it together in order to, move them up any higher on the list than that. So number six, JR.
Man, bunch of sleepers on the whole line, I'll tell you. Number six for me is linebackers, which I know is kind of a hot take, but I just think that you have Sonny moving over from safety. You have CJ, who hasn't played as much lately. I really like what we're hearing out of Cody Simon and his leadership and stuff like that. So I'm really excited about that. However, I'm looking at the lack of experience there, and I think that there's going to be a little bit of growing pains with the linebackers. So, I mean, there's so much experience everywhere else. If you're six on this, it's really not bad. It's just, you know, we don't have a bunch of guys returning there, but I could definitely see if Sonny Styles or CJ Hicks or one of these guys has a really good season, I mean, they could surprise us, and one of these guys could be in contention for All-American.
Yeah, before we jump over to you, Melo, Blue Wolverine has sent us a $9.99 super chat. Says, pure character flying in the air with a red cape and a smile on his face. Oh, JR getting some love from Blue Wolverine there, I think. Okay, Melo, who do you have in at number six, buddy?
I'm rocking with JR. When you're right, you're right. I have linebackers at six.
Yes, I did as well. I think that you nailed on the head. The inexperience, I think they got freakish athleticism in that room. I think that Laurinaitis will get them in shape, get them doing what they're supposed to do. But much like the offensive line, it's kind of, yeah, we've got all this great talent, but now let's see it happen. So for me, I'm with the linebackers as well. Okay. Number five.
This is where I have O-line for me personally. I really, really love the addition of Seth McLaughlin. I think that he is going to be a very nice surprise for this team, and I think that when you have a position battle going between the starting center last year, who had a great offseason, Iron Buckeye, and one of the best bodies on the offensive line on the team, battling for one position, and the rest of them are set. Guys, I think Josh Simmons is going to have a fantastic year. Josh Simmons is going to play himself into a day two pick in the NFL draft, possibly day one. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him, but I think that Josh Simmons is going to do really, really well. I think Seth McLaughlin is going to do really, really well. And Josh Fryer has been putting in the work, guys. I mean, Iron Buckeye for him as well. I'm really excited for what this offensive line can be. Hopefully they are what I can't think they can be, but yeah, I got him up there at a number five.
I hope you're right, JR, but we are talking about the same Josh Simmons who false started on about every play last year, right?
Yes, but I think last time we went through, like, there were
the
plenty
guy that, of the guy that 2 years ago
had a lot of false starts too.
The guy that 2 years ago was the most penalized guy in all of college football as far as offensive linemen?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He also had the same false starts last year as the Oregon offensive tackle, Connerly, I think it is, that everybody is talking about as one of the best offensive tackles in the nation. But, you know, nobody wants to talk about his false starts, just Josh Simmons.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, where are we even at right now?
Number five.
Number five. Is that – Mello, where are we at with number five?
I got QB. So – I'm pretty high on the QB situation, especially after they just did the interviews with the DBs and the wide receivers and how highly they were speaking of Will Howard, especially Denzel Burt, the truth teller, and said kid's a gamer. He's been balling. He stepped it up. Brandon Ennis says he makes plays every single day at practice. He said he told the coach that he's the leader. He takes command of the huddle. I think we're in good hands. And if he doesn't work out, we still have four other quarterbacks that could do the same thing, in my opinion. So I think we're in good hands. In terms of O-line, I agree with JR. Just because I have them that low doesn't mean I don't think they are going to be very good. I just ranking them against the other position groups right on a team that I think is going to have a top three offense and the number one defense in the country. So, yeah, it's a lot of competition.
Yeah, I'm with you. You look at these eight groups, position groups, the lowest grade I give is a B to any one group. That's saying something, you know?
Right.
I'm with you, Mello. I had the QBs in at number five as well. I think there's tremendous depth. I think you have two of maybe the finest quarterback coaches in the country in Ryan Day and Chip Kelly on that sideline. I have no concern whatsoever at the quarterback position, given – the ability, the depth, and, you know, what our friends from K-State had to say about one Will Howard. I think we're in really good shape. Before we move on to the next one, Sean, you had a good question come up in the chat. We will try to address that before the end of the show. We'll come back to that. So.
Oh, I had to ask you guys, did you see Carnell Tate's interview?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Did you see he confirmed that Will Howard ran 22 miles per hour?
Yes.
Okay.
That's scary.
Faster than Travis Hunter at 235 pounds.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to tackle that?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at that size. Yeah. So we had a super chat come in from, I think I just took it off the screen as fast as I put it up there. Devin sent in a $20 super chat. 2024, 2025 Natty Lock. He's been on this Natty Lock thing, man. Mello, you do a show with this guy, so you know he's been on that Natty Lock.
Me and him to see it eye to eye. Beginning.
I'm with you, man. You know, Chip Kelly's run scheme is all about everything. We got the veteran leadership, like he says. Guys, I'm with him. I think it's a lock for 2024, 2025. And I think the future looks bright going forward. And speaking of going forward, let's move on to number four. JR.
I would just like to say number four could be number one. I mean,
yes, these last four, yeah, it's like somewhere between an A, like A plus and an A plus minus.
Yeah, one A, one B, one C, one D. So, like, don't judge me because they could all basically be there. I have wide receiver number four only because of the inexperience of Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. However, Jeremiah Smith could be a Heisman finalist at the end of the year. Emeka Ibuka could be a Heisman finalist at the end of the year. Carnell Tate could sneak up to us. I mean, Carnell Tate went out there. You're talking about his interview. He said, when I had to go back and listen to it, he said, hey, all four of us wide receivers could have 1,000 yards. And I was like, oh, maybe he means like all four of us are capable of doing that. No, he meant like in the same season. Like, guys, I don't know if anybody knows how crazy that there were two 1,000-yard receivers in the Big Ten last year. Two, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Isaiah Williams from Illinois. If we had four on this team, you know how many passing yards that Jewel Howard would have to go for?
JR, like, though, let's remember, it wasn't, but a couple years ago, we almost had three in the same system season. If not for Olave getting injured, it's very likely that Olave, Wilson, and JSN would have all went for 1,000 yards.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm not necessarily saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, like, he put that idea out there. My first thought was like, no way that could happen. And then I started thinking about it more, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
What happens if we have four, 1,000-yard receivers? Do you know what I'm saying?
I would have to break a record.
And then 2,000-yard running backs.
I know. He said that, too.
With the new game, I don't see that even being possible.
I mean, I think it can happen.
The clock runs.
That's true. But I think our defense is going to be that dominant. We only really have three tough games. It's going to be that dominant that I think we're going to have a lot of possessions. So it's quite possible, especially since they're emphasizing takeaways and turnovers.
Right, and I think that, like, Brandon Ennis, if he is wide receiver four, I think you could see him out there a little bit more in kind of mop-up duty times. Not to say, like, you know, he won't get his with the starters out there, but, I mean,
valid point.
It could happen. If it does happen, I would be so happy, but we better win the Natty if it does happen.
Here's the thing, guys. I think if Ryan Day was still calling the offense, it would be more likely than with Chip Kelly calling the offense. Chip Kelly does like to run the ball.
And that's why I think we get 2,000-yard rushers.
That I would not be surprised at all by.
Yeah, that's more likely.
But then it's going to be, if I'm a DC, do you want to let Juckins and Trey destroy you, or are you going to try to dare Will Howard to throw on you?
Here's the other thing, though. You look at these guys. Neither one of these guys may want that much wear and tear on their bodies. That's why Judkins came up here, was to get away from that, you know, 25 carries a game, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right.
They don't need 25 carries a game, Chris.
No, they really
don't. Give them each 15. They'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And
if the O-line is as good as we say.
And they still probably be over 100 yards.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, Mello, who you got in number four, buddy?
Number four, I'm with JR, wide receivers, and for the exact same reasons, because they're inexperienced. I still think that from what I've seen on film and games that Optimus Prime has played in, I do think he's wide receiver one in America. And I think by mid-October, people will find out and realize that as well.
I've been saying that all along, Mello. Eric gets on me all the time about it, but I say it all along. He's the best wide receiver in the game right now as a freshman.
And I think people are going to find out. It's going to show significantly in October. But with their youth, they have to be at four.
Yeah. See, I actually went a little bit different route. I actually went with running backs at four. And the reason I did this wasn't because I think there's anything wrong with the running back room. It's simply the depth issue. For me, I'm a little concerned about that. I think that if you base it off the two starters, we're awesome, those first two guys. Depth, I think, is a little bit of a concern in the running back room, where we, with Coffee going down, we now have two freshmen vying for that number three spot. All right, before we slide into the top three, JR, Blue Wolverine hit us with another $9.99 super chat. Would you prefer OSU loses to Michigan but wins the Natty?
I hate this question.
JR, or Blue Wolverine, we are going to address that for you at the end of the show. We've got to make sure we get through the list here before we address that, because JR has to bid us adieu shortly before 9 o'clock. So we're going to go ahead and jump to number three, JR.
Number three for me is the defensive line. All these returners coming back, it's outstanding. However, you do have guys behind them that haven't started very much. I do believe in Caden McDonald at the defensive tackle spot, but like I mentioned earlier, if we ran into the season with Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson, that'd be a whole lot of inexperience on the defensive line, and those are the two guys behind JT and Jack Sawyer right now. So just the people behind them, it's nitpicking, but yeah, that's my thought there.
No.
And for me, I have the same thing, defensive line. And it's just because the other two position groups are just so superior.
Yeah, I've actually got the defensive line here as well. Completely the opposite of what I said with the running back room. I'm not concerned at all about depth on the defensive line. But, you know, once you get past those starters, there is a bit of a drop, I think, specifically at the defensive end position. Not a huge drop, but there is a drop. And I think that experience, especially with JTT and Jack, is going to really play a big part in the season. So that leaves us with our top two spots. Number two for you, JR.
Number two for me is running back. I really believe in James Peoples, but, you know, he is a freshman. And so, but at the same time, I'm not like looking at him and saying he's the reason they're lower, because Quinshon and Trevion are just, they're so good. I mean, these guys could arguably be the best two backs in the nation, and they could show that this year. We'll see. I mean, Ollie Gordon, you know, Hampton from North Carolina, those guys are really, really good. But, I mean, at the end of the year, you could be talking about these two guys being the two best backs in the nation.
For me, I got running back there as well. And simply, yes, we have depth issues, but I've seen Caleb Downs play in high school. And if he wanted to and wanted to focus on running back, he could easily be the number one running back in the country, just like safety. So if we get in a pinch, we could throw him over there. I really hope we don't, but that's my thought process into it.
So Mello, Mr. Nolan's in the house, and he sends out a message for you here, buddy. He sees two wide receivers going for 1,000, but man, them running backs got to eat too.
Shout out to Mr. Nolan, man. Your son was a beast to watch in high school. It was awesome watching him and Jelani just set records down here in Georgia.
Yeah, I forgot all about that, Mello. You got to see that stuff firsthand.
And I'm telling you, Eric could throw the ball. People think that Julian's just going to take this spot. I'm telling you, don't write off Eric. Nope. That's all I'm going to say. You might be shocked next year.
Yeah, if you watch that kid at the spring game, you know he's a gamer. No doubt about it. All right, so for me, I got wide receivers at number two. Yeah, there's a little bit of a lack of experience there, but I think we have a tremendously deep room. I think that our guys 6 through 9 could probably start at half the universities in the country right now. You look at Jeremiah Smith, who I think is the best receiver in the country right now. You've got Emeka Egbuka coming back, who I think is going to have a phenomenal year and just improve his draft stock. You got Carnell Tate. You got Ennis. You've got all these guys waiting to get on the field. You know, I could see us actually running as many as 6 different guys into the game on a regular basis at receiver. I mean, obviously the bulk of the snaps are going to go to, I think, Smith, Egbuka. And then I think you see it start to even out a little bit with Tate and Ennis. But, you know, don't be surprised if we don't see 5 and 6 in there quite a bit as well.
As we should.
That means we've all got the same group at number one. JR, do you want to do the honors?
Well, I feel like I have taken the opportunity to talk about all these groups from Mello. So I'm actually going to let Mello talk about the DBs really fast, because I've taken the opportunity and he said every single time, yeah, JR's basically said what I was going to say. So Mello, you tell us your thoughts on DBs at number one, and then I'll clean up after you.
Okay. So for DBs, for me, it was an easy decision. They have the most depth on the roster. You go 7 deep if you need to. Jermaine Matthews graded out as an 80 overall on PFF as the highest freshman DB in America. And he's our 4th DB. Denzel Burt only allowed 19% of his targets to catch the ball. That's insane. I mean, they're just loaded. Now, if we could get Davison Egbenosin to turn his head around a little bit more, and get some more pass breakups and a little less pass interferences, man, this team is going to be ridiculous. And Jordan Hancock is easily the best nickel in America. And then Caleb Downs, we all know what he is, the number one safety. To go with Latham Ransom, that's going to lay the wood on you. Man, it's a no-fly zone next season.
Yeah, Oh,
the best part about that, sorry, Chris, I'll say it really fast. The best part about that is you got Jermaine Matthews, Calvin Simpson-Hunt, Aaron Scott. You got all these guys behind him. A little inexperienced, but Jermaine Matthews, like, If he was playing this year, he'd be a top 10 cornerback in the nation. I'm convinced. Sorry.
You know what, JR? Jermaine Matthews got some good quality time last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a little inexperienced, but he has seen game reps, which is big. So we know.
Yeah, I was talking more Simpson Hunt and Aaron Scott, but you're exactly right. He came in and started for, was it Burke last year?
Yeah.
When he had to go out.
What was his first game out of pick six?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that was his first target, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Good precedent to set.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, for me, Melo, you know, you talked about Iggy there a little bit and turning his head around and I don't mind Igbinosin. Yeah, we don't like the pass interference calls, but you don't want to see him, especially in a big situation. But if it's a penalty of aggression, because he is so physical and he takes this defensive back group to another level. We saw that last year. He took them to another level in the physicality category, in the aggressiveness category. I think when you put that with what Caleb Downs is going to bring, who's another physical guy, along with the skill set and the finesse of Denzel, and like you said, Lathan, who's just going to bring the wood and lay the smack down on you. These guys, I would not want to be a receiver going downfield on these guys. Because even if you make that catch, you're going to regret it. You are going to regret catching that ball. And I am so psyched to see that.
Every corner, every wide receiver we face this year is going to be afraid to go over the middle. I mean, they're just going to be afraid because the guys are going to be there. They're going to be ready to hit them at any point in time. I mean, they're going to be begging to run fade routes to the outside.
You know what's
great still got to
is you could even take that and think about the tight ends. What tight ends are going to want to come running across if you got Sonny Styles and C.J. Hicks bearing down on you at a running start?
And Cody Simon.
Cody Simon.
Yep. Arvell Reese.
Yeah. You know, you look at Cody Simon, I think a lot of people think of him more in that Tommy Eichenberg type of middle linebacker type of play where he's a pure tackling machine. Man, Simon is an athlete.
Yes, he is.
He is very athletic for his size.
It's about time we got some athletic linebackers, man. This is what we've been waiting for years.
Man, I love it. I think it's going to be aggressive. It's going to be nasty to watch. And I just can't wait. JR, I know you got a bolt on us, so.
Yeah, guys, I'll head out of here. Appreciate you guys having me on. We are starting our Sunday night Big Ten Huddle episodes again. So when you guys get done here, head on over to the Big Ten Huddle. Come join us over there. We'd love to have you. We'll be talking all Big Ten teams today, a little bit of Ohio State, a little bit of everybody else too. So we'll see you over there if you're going to come join.
Appreciate you, JR, for joining us, man. It was fun. Got to do this more often.
Yeah, man. Great time. I'll see you guys later.
Later.
See you later, JR. Okay, bear with me because I'm going to leave JR's blank little kind of looks like a smiley face up there for a minute because I'm just not as good as Eric is at transitioning the screens.
While you do that, I just wanted to throw something out there about why another reason I had the running backs as number two.
Yeah, go ahead.
1,800 yards. That's after contact for Quinshon Judkins in his freshman and sophomore year at Ole Miss in the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's gonna be a nightmare.
He is. He's absolutely amazing. And let me tell you, I think that this is just gonna be team is just so stacked. Before we go tonight, I want to jump on two things. Mm-hmm. And they were two super chats we got, or a super chat and a comment that we got. First of all was Sean's comment, and I don't see it right offhand, but he had mentioned Jelani Thurman and his athleticism, his size, what a big target he is.
Mm-hmm.
You had the chance to see him firsthand. Do you think we're going to see packages where it's just if we get into the red zone, it is throw it up there and let him go get it?
I mean, he's a mismatch. You don't even have to just use him in the red zone. You could use him anywhere. He is legitimately a mismatch. He's too big and he's too fast.
Yeah.
for pretty much anybody on the field that's going to cover him, whether it's a linebacker or a safety. It's going to be a mismatch, and you're definitely not putting a cornerback on him.
No. He would hurt a cornerback.
So whatever it is that he has to fix, he needs to fix that, because if he could get significant minutes, not only does it help us this year, but I think it's going to help us in the long run. And we could see some historical numbers. I'm talking about LSU 2019 offensive historical numbers. And the defense, I already have the defense being historical this year. So it could be really scary for other teams. And I'm praying that whatever he's got to do off the field or whatever consistency he needs to show, that he shows it. He is that special.
Okay. Here it is. I'm going to pin you down, then I'm going to give my take on it.
Okay.
Blue Wolverine asked it. I'm going to throw it up there again.
I hate this question.
Would you prefer Ohio State loses to Michigan, but wins the Natty, or beats Michigan without a Natty?
I'm be honest. We have to – oh, this one's tough. I want to beat Michigan, but I think for the success of the program, I think they have to win the Natty with that kind of – that dollar amount that was spent on the team. I think it's Natty or bus, and that's the main thing. But fortunately for us, Blue Wolverine, we're going to do both. And we're going to do it in a very fashionable way. We're going to set a statement come November 30th, and I think a lot of Blue fans are going to be crawling in a hole, except for Johnny Olding, because he'll stand by what he says, but everybody else is going to go hiding.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that, honestly, this is a question that doesn't really concern us this year, because I think that you're right. I think it's going to be convincing. I think it's going to be a statement win. They are going to put Michigan on notice. I think they want to expose this team for the frauds that they've been the last few years. And for me, it's very difficult. For me personally, I think the Michigan win has to happen, but at the same time, I'm with you from the standpoint of this team is Natty or bust. It has to happen this year. If it doesn't, even if he beats Michigan, I think there's questions surrounding Ryan Day. If you can't win with this roster, with the money they put out there, with the coaching staff you've assembled, and the money they've spent on them, you know, I think Ryan Day has to win a national title, especially considering that you've got a new athletic director in there who obviously wants to win. Now, I do think that should he beat Michigan but not win the Natty, I don't think that they let him go. But I think the seat's still a little warm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because questions start to arise. Why can't you win? Why can't you win with this team? Why can't you win with the best running back room in the country, with the best wide receiver room in the country, with the best defensive back room in the country?
The best D-line.
With arguably one of the best D-lines in the country. Like we said earlier when we started this, Melo, this is a team that has position groups. Our worst position group probably rates about a B.
Yeah.
And I think we've only got one team that's lower than – or one group that's lower than the A-, and that's the tight ends. And I think a lot of that is just that they're unproven.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to do it. He's got to beat Michigan. He's got to win the Natty. He's got to do it all this year. The one forgivable hiccup, which Eric has said time and time again, would be if they go out to Eugene and should suffer a setback there. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I've been on the 12-0 bandwagon since the start of the season. But if it would happen there, it's one that's forgivable. It's one that's you can overcome. And you can make it right in the same season by going out and beating them in the Big Ten championship game. And if you get them again in the playoffs, making a statement against them in the playoffs.
Hey, you know why I think we're going to do both?
Why is that?
Win both. because I did my coaches ranking as well, since we were doing a ranking for our team. And I got Chip Kelly 1, Jim Knowles 2. And I also think like that is the order for me nationally for the OC and DC.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I got OG Walt, who I think is the best defensive back coach in America. Then I had Brian Hartline, who, do we even have to argue if he's the best wide receiver coach in America? Like, is that even a debate?
Arguably, he may be, given his player development, given his recruiting, I would argue he might be the best assistant in America.
That's good. Good point. And then I have the GOAT, LJ.
Yeah.
That says everything you need. And then, obviously, the last three is Matt G., Keenan Bailey, and Justin Fry. I need Justin Fry to show me something this year.
And don't sleep on Justin Fry is the one in there that worries me. Corey's a young guy. The safeties coach was a co-defensive coordinator at Indiana. So he's done this at a high level, at a coordinator position. You look at our coaches, man. I'm gonna put you on the spot here in a second, but you look at these coaches. So many of these guys could be a head coach. They really could. And we didn't even mention James, man.
James Laurinaitis. I was just thinking that too.
You know, James is on the path. James will be a head coach somewhere in the near future. Absolutely. Hopefully not too near.
Right.
But in the future, he'll be a head coach. So here's my question to you. Who is the first coach we lose? Who's the first assistant we lose? And then if you give me the one I think you may give me for the reason you give me, I'm going to hit you with a second question.
I don't think I would have said Jim Knowles, but I don't think he's going to try to leave.
Okay.
I think it's probably going to be Hartline, but I'm hoping not.
So you think he's going to go for a head coaching position somewhere?
Or OC position.
Well, see, he's a co-OC now.
Yeah, but he's not
calling plays.
Right.
But you look at it, and we've talked about this in the past. Urban didn't really call plays before becoming a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He went from wide receiver coach to head coach.
You know what?
So the precedent's there.
It's going to be the GOAT. I think LJ will retire before anybody.
Now, that's the one I figured you were going to say, and that's why I said I was going to hit you with another question. Who would be the first to leave for a head coaching position? I've been torn. You asked me about mine. I've been torn. I really think it comes down to one of two guys who would leave for a head coaching position. I agree with you. I don't think Knowles wants to go anywhere. I think Jim Kelly is been there, done. Or not Jim Kelly. Chip Kelly has been there, done that. So I think they're both content with where they're at. I think it's going to come down to either Hartline, or you could see Walton go someplace and take a DC position.
I could see that.
And I could almost see, if Walton does it, I could see it jumping back to the NFL.
I could see that with Chip as well. But Chip has to stay here for 3 years, though. He promised day 3 years, and they're like family, so I don't see him like going back on that.
But here's the question. Let's say they go out there, they go undefeated, they win the Natty.
Mm-hmm.
Does Day stay for 3 years?
Yeah, he's staying until RJ at least graduates, for sure.
You think?
Yep, and I think if we win the Natty and we beat Michigan, I think Ross is going to hand him an astronomical contract.
I'd like to think so.
I think he will. Lock him down. We'll definitely – somebody – people are going to come for our assistance after this season. So let's see if we could keep this 25 class locked in. I know Jakeem Stewart said if LJ leaves, it wouldn't affect him because he's tight with his assistant who's from Louisiana as well.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you. LJ, I think I'm with you. I think he probably is the first to go. I think he does – I think there's a good chance he retires after the end of this year, especially if we can walk away, if we win a Natty.
Yeah.
I think he can walk away feeling accomplished.
Right.
And I mean, you look at what this guy has done over the years in developing the talent he has.
Ridiculous.
Man, yeah.
No one compares.
No. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. We have went over that 1 hour mark for tonight's show. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up at this time. Don't forget to tune in Thursday night for our next call-in show. That'll start at 8 p.m. live. Make sure, again, watch for content we got rolling out. Eric and I have a few more preview shows that we're going to be rolling out here in the next few weeks. We are down to, I believe, our last four previews, man. That just tells you how close we are to the season. So, Mello, before we break up, why don't you go ahead and you and Devin have a show coming up?
The Buckeye Boys, look out for Wednesday. It should be dropping Wednesday. We're putting the pressure out there. So we'll get it done. We'll get it out to you guys on Wednesday. It's going to be very entertaining. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. You guys know how me and Devin are. So you'll get more of me and Devin's personality. And it'll still be family oriented, but it'll have a little bit of a twist to it. Shout out to the Buckeye Boys, to the Pod Squad gang, and the Queen in the chat, and all everybody else, Sean and Matt, all the OGs. Eric, wherever you are.
Eric's actually in the chat. He's been throwing things up. Every time you see the Ohio podcast.
Oh, okay. Chat, I thought that was you.
It's not me tonight. Usually I'll type stuff in there. You know, while Eric's running the board, I got a whole new respect for what he does.
Right.
Tell you, being the first night I've done this on my own. So, you know, a whole new respect for that. But yeah, absolutely. Check out the Buckeye Boys. Their next video should be dropping on Wednesday. So we're super excited about that. Saw Devin helping out Kirk the other night. And man, he did a great job.
He did, didn't he?
He did. I was really, really impressed. You guys, can't wait to see you guys rolling out on a regular basis. Of course, like I said, join me and Eric again this Thursday for our call-in show. And make sure you go on, like, hit that thumbs up, subscribe. And if you haven't as of yet, consider becoming a member. The perks are fantastic.
The Buckeye Boys are coming soon.
Buckeye Boys are coming soon. That season starts in just 2 weeks, man. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I walked out of the house this morning, but just before we go, I walked out of the house this morning, Mello. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I walked out and I could see my breath. It was like 48 degrees outside when I walked outside this morning.
Are you serious?
I had that smell in the air. It was like the middle of August, and I'm like, it is football season.
My daughter had a soccer game today this morning, so when I walked out at 8:30, it was already 83 degrees down here.
Oh, it didn't even get to 83 as a high here today.
Man, that sounds awesome. Hoodie season.
As you see, I'm wearing a sweatshirt here tonight, which is something that's a little different. So, football season is definitely upon us. Ohio is transitioning accordingly. So, well, if you don't have anything else, Mello.
Yep. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys on Wednesday and Thursday.
OH.
IO.
Go Bucks.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.